everybody, Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom Fairbanks engineering and producing our show. I love this kind of weather. The day after the big winds have blown through the area, and now we had a rather chilly evening. I think it went down to about 38 degrees here in Tucson, so that's kind of it for the last of the cool weather, as we can expect now some beautiful spring weather for the next, certainly through the weekend. It's Buckmaster on a midweek edition. It's Wednesday, April the 13th, 2022. We are in our 12th year here with the radio show, our 34th year on television and radio in the Tucson area. We are broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, and you know, perfect time of year to get over to Green Things. They have a 13-acre site that is just chock full of everything you could imagine for the garden. If you want some spring planting, well, now is the time to go by. I can't think of a more perfect day than today to go by Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Also, when you're over there, don't forget about Zocalo Village, all of that great furniture from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. All right. We hope to have Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham with us. But before we get to Paul, I want to go to our border reporter, Keith Rosenblum, because I do want an update. Keith, how are you?
Bill, I'm doing well. I'm sitting in Nogales, Mexico, just waiting to talk to your to you and your listenership.
Well, we talked, as you know, a few days ago, and I had not even heard about this special election that the president of Mexico called, a kind of a referendum on how he's doing. Then I saw something over the weekend in the New York Times, and apparently it was a very low turnout, but the results are, I guess, as expected.
This is something that the president engineered, Bill. He wanted to, first of all, when you elect a president, you elect him for 6 years, end of conversation, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Period. 6 years, you're in, good luck, bye-bye. However, when you're President López Obrador and you want to get a bounce, you want to be able to boast about how powerful you are and how much the citizenry needs you, then you put the state apparatus to work, you hold a referendum, which there's really no precedent for. He had to have that passed in the Congress that there would even be a referendum. And then you win that referendum by a huge margin, even if no one turns out to vote, which is what happened, by the way. They got 18% of the vote. And what you have is the makings of an Orwellian Animal Farm Hugo Chavez narcissistic model. And that's exactly what's happening right now. And he can point to overwhelming acceptance from the population, except for it's an overwhelming acceptance from those who actually were had the time to go vote in what is essentially a bogus or a contrived election or a referendum, I should say.
Was this an effort to perhaps extend Mexican presidents who are elected for a 6-year term? Is he eyeing some kind of maybe what would it take to the law would have to be changed, obviously, if he wanted to.
Well, yes, but that's the history. That's Vladimir Putin, and that's Hugo Chavez, and that's Nicolas Maduro. And that's probably you, Bill. You want to edge out all the other people in radio, so you figure out ways to declare yourself as being number one in the market. And
yep.
So how? And that's what he's doing. He would deny it, but at a certain point, and I know this from having worked in government too, at a certain point, people in public life go from being elected to believing that they're anointed.
Mm.
You never quite know when it's going to happen. It can happen in year one, year two, year three, but at a certain point, you're there because it's divine mission. Mm-hmm. And so therefore you say, you know what? I know those are the rules. I'm aware of that, but oh man, the people need me. And that's exactly what Lopez Obrador is doing right now. He's buttressing or he's garnering or foraging for all the support he can get. He'll deny that he's looking for another term at all, another six-year term. But what will happen is you hit a point where you say, oh, the people need me. You know, Bill, the people of Tucson need you. The people need me. You get to a point where you say, I'm doing the people a favor by sticking around. And that's where we are right now. And that's the genius or the tawdry, you know, unprincipled nature of what he's doing right now. And so they call it revocación del mandato, which literally means revocation of mandate. And this has been planned for the last year. They had to create the entity within government, or the possibility to do it within government. And then when it was executed, two things happened. First of all, the turnout was low. But secondarily, and this is fascinating, it serves Lopez Obrador's purpose to say, oh, look, the Federal Elections Board, which is known in Spanish by INE, I-N-E, which is the Instituto Nacional Electoral. He's saying that they didn't do their job and that they were trying to discourage Mexicans from going to the polls, and that the reason that he fared so poorly in terms of the number of the turnout, he's saying, oh, the INE was against me. And look at them. They need to be corrected. So what he does is he paves the way for the Mexican Congress, which would need a two-thirds majority to disband INE, to disband the Federal Electoral Commission. Now he's got control of the voting apparatus because they'll come up with models that are based largely on what Donald Trump has done with state legislatures throughout the 50 states. And they'll say, this is the way it has to be done in the future. That's the way you, by gaining control of the electoral apparatus, you can perpetuate yourself and you can perpetuate all your handpicked people, all your party people, for the remainder of the century. It's really sinister.
Hey, Keith, let me ask you about another story that's developing on the border. What do you hear about the trucker backlog, or I guess there's a protest going on the other side of the border from Texas?
My understanding of it is that it's completely legitimate, that when Governor Perry, whoever it is, of Texas, I've lost track, but when you call in the National Guard or the police to inspect, to do like 100% inspections, we survive by doing randomized samples. You can't inspect every person, you know, you can't do corporal inspection of every person who walks into the U.S., right? Doing a truck is a lot more complicated. It means going through, it means slowing stuff down. And so what you have here is really a fascinating state versus federal government standoff. And so you have the governor of a state saying, this is the way we're going to do things, and I'm going to send a message to everybody else. What you end up doing is you end up ticking off lots and lots of people, because guess what? Border commerce is not Democrat or Republican. Border commerce is people trying to make a living and do their jobs. Yeah. And when you penalize one section of the economy that way, what you can do over the long term is, hell, they'll send people to Arizona or to California to do their importing, which would be really weird. So be careful of what you decide to enforce. I mean, if you decided that everybody on I-19 and everybody on I-10 needed to pay attention to that 65 or that 75 sign, you could bring traffic to a standstill, and you could alienate lots of people by enforcing the laws, right? Is that what we're about? Or do we randomly pick out people who are going like 80 or 90 and saying, hey, that's, you know, we're going to set the example. Yeah. You can enforce laws whenever you want, and you can tick people off and have lots of backlash effect, too.
All right. Keith, thanks for the quick update on a couple of important stories that concern the border. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon. Keith Rosenblum.
My pleasure, Bill. Bye-bye.
Keith Rosenblum checking in from Nogales, Sonora, Mexico. We're going to check in right now with Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. We love Mona's. They're open right now for lunch. They open at 6:30 Tuesday through Sunday for breakfast. You can't beat the breakfast. Best breakfast in town, I think. I like a couple of eggs over easy. I'll go with the bacon. I'll go with the bear claw, and I am perfectly happy. That will last me, if I have it for breakfast, it's going to last me for dinner. I won't need lunch after that after I eat at Mona's for breakfast. Their website's monasdanishbakery.com. Beautiful color pictures of everything on the menu. All right, we'll be back after we take the break with Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Discover your world inside Biosphere 2. Explore living, breathing scientific research. Using the new Biosphere 2 Experience app, you can now explore one of the wonders of the world's amazing 30-year history and future through never-before-seen videos and photos. Visit today at info@biosphere2.org. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. Midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Let's check in now with Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham for his monthly visit to the program. Happy birthday, Councilman. I understand this is year number, you've got 48 now chalked up as you begin your, really the journey into your 49th year. Congratulations.
Thanks for the wishes. And yeah, it's been interesting. I didn't think this, you know, I always figured the big birthdays are 40 and 50 and 30. And that, I think that as I've gotten older, those birthdays are big for your friends. They throw the big party. But the birthdays that have a lot of self-reflection and have a lot of other pieces to it are the birthdays where you turn a certain age, and depending on what happened in that last year, is how much reflection and how much your birthday truly affects you. So that's kind of my tall point of the day, if you will, if that makes any sense at all.
You've had quite a ride. Like all of us, life is full of ups and downs, and you're doing pretty well right now, aren't you, Paul Cunningham?
Yeah, everything's great. I'm teaching school. Sorry about the delay on the interview. I thought we were 12:30. I don't finish. My planning period on Wednesday doesn't start until 12:17. So that's, again, my
no
you get
problem.
Mixed up sometimes. But yeah, I've got a great job teaching. We won a state championship this year. A lot of things happened in Tucson this year that despite all the challenges globally we had, the community has responded very well. We have some challenges that we haven't seen before, but for once, it doesn't seem like we're standing alone. It doesn't seem like Tucson is the only city facing those challenges, and I think we're doing a better job on a lot of them than some of our other peer cities are. So, you know, you really look at that, and I've got a really I'm very, very happy, and my three boys make me proud, and my lovely wife supports me every day. So it's a good place to be.
We had Tim Tomier with us. What a talent that guy is. He was with us on the show for our Friday Focus interview on Friday, and we covered a lot of ground, but one thing that really jumped out at me is the city of Tucson has a real hiring shortage. I mean, you've got so many positions that are open right now. Parks and Rec, more than a third of all positions are vacant. A fifth of the city's information technology spots, the IT spots, are unfilled. You've got 800 city employees currently eligible to retire. And I know there's a big, I think it's a joint effort with Pima County, April 19th, there's a huge job fair. There are a lot of openings in the city and county.
And it's across different industries. I mean, you can't get people in restaurants and hotels. Like, every single sector is struggling to find folks. I think that the way the worker is going to be defined over the next 30, 40 years is going to change. And so if you'll indulge me, I'll tell a little story. When I was 23 years old, one of my really good friends became a flight attendant, and she would actually have to bid on her ships and her flights, and that's how she got paid, and that's how she got scheduled. There was no supervisor assigning her flights. There was somebody kind of overseeing it, but they basically logged into a website every month, and they picked kind of which work they do and where and when and how. And so for me, I got that taste of that 23 years ago. I think that the technology exists now with apps and scheduling and just different things. You're going to see that in all kinds of sectors where people will go on and say, hey, I'm a Tucson lifeguard, but I'm going to work this pool on this time on Sunday, but I have something to do Monday, so I'm going to work. And I think that's going to kind of be a shift in the conventional, hey, this is your schedule, and this is when you show up, and this is what you do, to, hey, this is what I'm bidding on. I'm going to bid on these shifts and kind of make my schedule a little more flexible, that work-life balance that we all talk about. I think that's the direction we're going with labor in the United States. And Tucson's going to try to work on that too. There's actually an app here in Tucson, the Quick app, not to do a free plug, but it is a homegrown app that's working on just that and solving that labor gap, if you will. I think it's called a labor gap. And it isn't that people don't want to work, but people are going to be a little more selective on how they're able to achieve work-life balance. And they want to be able to say where, when, and how much. And I get that.
40% now of people are working at home. It used to be about 15%. And a lot of these people like that. And we have had a massive change in the whole attitude to work since the pandemic.
Right. Exactly. I mean, things have changed significantly. But there's something to be said about in-person meetings. There's something to be said about in-person fellowship. And I think that's what being human is. And I really hope we don't lose that if we're all just virtual.
Let's talk a little bit about Proposition 411. I know that as an elected official, I don't know if I don't think you can really advocate for this, or maybe it's just maybe it was Tim Tomier, who is a city employee, was saying he couldn't electioneer for something. But I get, as an elected official, you can back something, right?
You can. It's a little complicated. So, like, okay. If I'm on this show as a councilman,
yeah,
then it's not proper.
Okay.
But if I'm on this show as a candidate or as the chairman of that, say I'm also the chairman of the committee, it's fine.
Okay.
I don't want to get mired into the minutia of what he said and can't say. What I can tell everybody is that the fact of the matter is that this tax does not raise taxes. It does extend an existing tax. So you're avoiding a tax cut. You're missing a tax cut if you vote no, but you're not raising taxes if you vote yes. It just didn't extend something. So everything stays the same. And the city believes, and I believe it too, and again, nothing's in stone, but the aim is to be able to pave and maintain every single residential street over the next 10 years, which is a really good thing. So which I think is a really good thing. I mean, most people would say that's one of our biggest needs. That's one of the biggest discussion points we have with our neighbors. So that's what that's what I'll say today. I think that's pretty vanilla. Obviously everybody knows, I mean, you can infer what you want. Obviously, you know that people know, can infer whether or not I support this thing or not, but you know, that's basically how I'll put it. But the idea to be bold and say, hey, you know what? We're going to actually pave and maintain every single residential road in Tucson, Arizona. That's a good goal to have. And as a council, we always have that goal. And we believe that this would accomplish that.
Every road within what, 5 years?
Every residential road within 10 years.
Mm. Well, I hope you start over by Reed Park. Oh, my goodness. By Reed Park, and actually the roads right around Himmel Park are the one I consider to be absolutely third world. So I hope that would get some attention fairly soon if this thing passes. On May 17th, so this is an all mail-in election, is that correct?
Yep, I think everybody receives their ballot. I think everybody receives their ballot like May 4th or 5th. Look for it in the mail. You got to get it in. Got to be postmarked by the 16th, stuff like that, but it should process.
Now, you and the council will be getting a report from Tim Tomier and Mike Ortega and the team about the finances. I think that's coming up at your next meeting. Tim gave us a little preview on Friday. City's in pretty good shape financially, Paul Cunningham.
It's a double-edged sword. We're in the best financial shape we've ever been since I've been on the council.
Really?
So take that by far. It isn't even close. And I remember coming on the show and bragging about a $34, $35 million surplus a few years ago, which we were able to invest in some roads and some road maintenance and some our CST. So we're in pretty good shape there. But again, there's always something to do. There's always challenging. Now, my time on the council, the stuff that we did 10 years ago that I remember doing, it's kind of ready to be done again. You do have to redo parks every 10 years. You do have to put in new playgrounds every 8 to 10 years. You do need to resurface tennis courts every 10 years. Obviously, you're always doing roads. And now we think we'll have the resources for a full system. You need to order new equipment for fire and police every 10 years. I mean, you just do. It the equipment has wear and tear. It runs out. It breaks down. I mean, it just is. I mean, one of the things I used to say was, think about maintaining just grass in Tucson, Arizona. We get about a foot of rain a year, and we get 7 or 8 inches of it in a 6-week period. That kind of rain, you're going to get some uneven pathways. You're going to get some flow patterns with how turf and grass kind of procreates. And as a result, every few years, you got to go back and level it. Well, the same is true for pretty much everything. And so that cycle comes through. And you know, look, I'm glad we're in fiscal shape, but money, this totally proves that money isn't everything. We don't have enough people. But there's always something that we're addressing, and we try to be responsive and make the best decisions possible. And I think right now our community is enjoying a reasonably good quality of life, and it's so nice right now to be able to be out without a mask and say hi to people again and stuff like that. And as we kind of collectively collect our norms, I think we're going to be a very desirable place to be.
All right. Any plans? Are you going out to dinner, or what are you going to do for your birthday, Paul?
Old buddies coming into town and talking to them, and going to have dinner with the wife, of course. But the biggest, most important thing I need to do today is pick up both of my boys, my 5-year-old and my 13-year-old, right as they get out from Bell. No daycare, no extracurriculars today. They're coming with me, and we are going to Baskin's Robbins.
Oh, sounds like a winner. a special birthday treat for Paul Cunningham, celebrating a big birthday. Well, and every birthday is a big birthday. Paul Cunningham, thank you very much, and we'll look forward to our next visit.
Bill, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
All right.
It's always a pleasure to be on your show. Have a great day.
Thank you very much. Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham. Coming up next, our Reed Park Zoo update. So much is going on at the zoo. Spring has sprung, and there's some new additions out there. We're going to tell you about it as the Buckmaster Show continues, midweek edition. Back right after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade, using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Midweek Edition, the following segment presented by our friends over at the Reed Park Zoo. The zoo was founded in 1965 by the then City of Tucson Parks Director Gene Reed as an exhibit of exotic birds. The zoo now has become one of America's top zoos with over 300 animals from all over the world and welcoming some 500,000 visitors annually. With us on the live line, Deborah Carr, Director of Marketing and Special Events at the Reed Park Zoo. Deborah, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for asking. It's a very busy time. Spring at the zoo. Let's begin with a new birth over there.
We are celebrating the birth of two meerkat pups who were born several weeks ago. This is the second time we've had meerkat pups born at our zoo, which is pretty exciting, since this particular group of meerkats arrived in 2017. So the pups are they're pretty cautious and vulnerable when they're first born. So they've been spending some time in the behind-the-scenes area of their habitat, but they're starting to venture out a little bit more. And you'll often see them sort of standing in the doorway of the habitat as they watch their parents enjoying the outside. But they, as they get a little bit older, they'll be starting to come out a little bit more. And we'll be getting their first health check in a couple of weeks, so we'll be able to determine the sex of the pups.
What are meerkats, Deborah? Can you kind of describe these little animals?
Yeah, you know, they were, I believe it was the character Timon in the movie The Lion King. They're little, small little members of the mongoose family. And they look almost like little puppies when they're born. They have such quizzical little faces, and they are very energetic. They put the E in energy, really. They will, you'll often see them standing on sentry in the wild and also in our habitat to keep a lookout for predators, or they dig. And each member of the group has a different and specific function. So, and they often share responsibilities. So, particularly when it comes to child rearing, so mom and dad will have some help.
Well, they're real team players for sure.
They are. They're very cute and very popular here at the zoo.
While you are celebrating babies, you're also making the birthday of one of the older animals at the zoo. Tell us about that and how the zoo has been caring for aging animals.
Absolutely. So this Friday we will be celebrating a big birthday at the zoo and for one of our longest residents. It's Ibanga, who is our southern white rhinoceros at the zoo. She's one of two. And she will be turning 49.
Wow.
She's been with us since 1976. You know, what's significant about that is the median life expectancy for these rhinoceros is about 35 to 40 years. So Ibanga is well beyond that, and she's doing great. At 9 o'clock, she'll be receiving some of her favorite food treats and enrichment, including a big ice pop and some hanging items that she can rub on. She loves to rub on things. Also, her favorite scent is rosemary, so they will be putting plenty of rosemary out in her habitat. You know, the zoo practices whole life care, so we have animals that range from babies all the way up to Ibanga's age and beyond. And we, with our aging animals, like Ibanga, they receive some special care to keep them comfortable and to monitor their health. Ibanga, through positive reinforcement training, participates in blood draws. So they keep a check on things like liver and kidney function. They also monitor her for things that we might expect to find in any aging animal, such as arthritis. They also help her with trimming her horn. So a younger rhino would kind of take care of their horn and kind of keep it rubbed down a little bit, but our team helps her with that so she can be comfortable when she's raising her head and eating. And they let her do that willingly. Yeah, so you can come out on Friday and help celebrate Ibanga and learn a little bit more about white rhinoceros, which is an endangered species.
One of your favorite animals, I know, is Penzi, the elephant. Some beautiful pictures have been posted on Facebook about the baby elephants. Penzi turned 2 recently.
She did. We had a big birthday bash for her last weekend on Saturday, and she's just been a joy to watch, and especially as she continues to develop and learn new things. She's been very close to her big sister, Nandi, who was the first African elephant born here at the zoo, and Penzi, of course, the second, and they have that very close sisterly bond. Nandi has been trying to show Penzi kind of how to get in the elephant pool, the water. But Penzi has been very cautious about that. She'll go to the edge and really just kind of looks in and hasn't wanted to get in. So surprisingly, on Monday, after her birthday, we looked up and there she was going in the pool with Nandi, and not only going in the pool, but having a great time in the pool. So it was wonderful to see them splashing around and sparring a little bit in the water. And we hope that it's going to be something that she will continue to enjoy. The elephants always love the water, especially during this time of year when it starts to heat up. And it's just great to see her conquering one more thing.
I think I read something about research concerning blood viruses and elephants. Reed Park is participating in some research in that area.
Absolutely. So there is a blood virus that affects elephants both in the wild and in managed care. It's called EEHV, and it stands for Elephant Endotheliopric Herpes Virus. Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a naturally occurring disease that can be fatal. So veterinarians and scientists in zoos have been working to learn more about it. And here at Reed Park Zoo, we're participating in research and information to help share details about the disease and research to help diagnose and mitigate EEHV. If an elephant does contract EEHV, swift treatment is required. And part of that may include a blood and plasma transfusion. So you can imagine, with time being of the essence, it's important to have a blood match and compatibility readily identified. So here at the zoo, our elephants participate in positive reinforcement training, and they willingly participate in blood draws. So we can draw blood and can store it and contribute to an elephant blood bank.
Oh, that's great.
Information is shared so that let's say one of our elephants were to get sick and require a blood transfusion, we can quickly identify a great match and get that blood to them potentially to save their life. Or if an elephant, conversely, in another zoo needs a blood transfusion and one of our elephants is a blood match, it would help save the life of that elephant. So they're learning more and more and more about EHV, and some exciting news to help keep elephants healthy and happy in zoos across
Deborah
the country.
Deborah Carr with us from the Reed Park Zoo. And Deborah, before we talk about some upcoming events, because we're quickly running out of time, but I do want to mention this conservation program. That's such a big effort at the zoo, supporting conservation efforts around the world. What's going on with the tapirs? First of all, what's a tapir, and what's going on to help protect these animals?
Yes, well, a tapir is the largest land mammal native to Central and South America. They have a nickname of living fossil because their biology has been unchanged for millions of years. And here at the Reed Park Zoo, we have Baird's tapir, which is one of 5 different species. If you're looking at them, they look a little bit like an oversized pig, a tall and oversized pig. The Baird's are a kind of a brown color, chocolate brown color, and they have elongated snout that forms a prehensile proboscis. It's similar in ways to an elephant's trunk, but a lot smaller. And they're important seed dispersers in their native environment, and they are endangered due to habitat loss and hunting, as well as from climate change that brings about droughts and changes to their native environments. And they also have a very slow reproductive cycle. Reed Park Zoo participates in a species survival plan for Baird's tapir, and those species survival plans help maintain genetically viable and healthy populations. But we also support a field research program called the Baird's Taper Alliance. And they are working across countries, across borders, and bringing a lot of different people together to study tapir movements and to develop strategies to help ensure these creatures can survive, including environmental education for communities that coexist with tapirs. And on April 29th from 5:30 to 7 p.m., we will have Chris Jordan, who is a conservationist with the Bears Taper Alliance, and he'll be giving a fascinating talk about the work that he and his team are doing in the wilds of Central America to help protect tapirs and where that research is taking them and what's really happening to this species that is so endangered and such so fascinating.
Deborah, before we let you go, how about a quick review? You've got a few other events I want to tell our listeners about, beginning with Party for the Planet. That's April 24th in connection with Earth Day.
We will. We will have a lot of different activities celebrating the Earth and also exploring ways that we can all get involved and maybe take a step to help protect the wonderful creatures and the native environments that sustain them. We will have a plant giveaway, and you can learn all about species survival programs, see some animal care demonstrations, partake in some nature play. So it'll be a fun time. And then on May 6th, you know, our dinosaur exhibit has been here for a few months, but they're about to go extinct. Coming May 15th, so on May 6th from 6 to 8:30 p.m., we will have something called Dino Night, our rep party. You can see the dinosaurs after dark, and you can also enjoy a giant dinosaur slide, games and animal encounters, all with the dinosaur theme, and a real treat, paleontologist Dr. Joaquin Ruiz will be with us to give a presentation on the dinosaurs' extinction.
I think we can get one more in here. Wine Gone Wild, May 14th. And then, of course, Summer Safari Nights. That's, I think it's going to be May 28th, right on through summer, or late summer, August 13th.
Absolutely. Wine Gone Wild is a fundraiser for the zoo with sipping and sampling wines and food and all kinds of fun activities. And then Summer Safari Nights, of course, are cool evening viewings at the zoo with theme nights and entertainment and activities. You can get all the information on the events that are coming up as well as all the animals at the zoo on our website at reedparkzoo.org.
Our family supports the zoo, and we encourage all of our listeners to support and become members of the Reed Park Zoo. Deborah Carr, always a pleasure. Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you, Bill. Have a great day.
Thanks a lot. All right, Buckmaster Show continuing with an update on Literacy Connects. They've got an anniversary, a 10-year anniversary coming up. We'll hear about that right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Think about a road trip coming up. Boy, everybody wants to get away these days. Only a three-hour drive east of Tucson to one of our favorite places. We love Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Find out about all the things to do, and there are a bunch of them, and some great places today to visit by visiting Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org. And don't forget, they've got the Blues Festival coming up over the Memorial Day weekend. They are back, and they are planning a real big shindig Memorial Day weekend over in Silver City. The Live Line here at the Buckmaster Show, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the Live Line. Matt Trevor Walquist is the executive director of Literacy Connects, celebrating its 10th anniversary. Matt, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. It is a pleasure to be back on your program.
Always a pleasure to have you, Matt. Tell us about the big event that you've got coming up to celebrate Literacy Connects.
Yeah, so this year, as you mentioned, is our 10th anniversary as Literacy Connects, and coming up on the 6th of May, we are going to be having a 10th anniversary celebration at the courtyard of the Tucson Museum of Art, where we get to showcase our programs. We'll have some inspirational speakers, student speakers, people who have come through our programs, and we get to really celebrate the 10 years that Literacy Connects has spent working with our community here in Tucson and beyond.
Give us the footprint of Literacy Connects and all that you do in our community, Matt.
Absolutely. Well, we have a number of programs that span the entire age range. Our mission is to connect people of all ages to a world of opportunities through literacy and creative expression. And, you know, at the very young child level, we partner with over 60 pediatric clinics where we do our Reach Out and Read program and incorporate literacy into well child visits with pediatricians. And we reach over 40,000 people in Tucson through that alone. Our Reading Seed program is in over 30 Title I elementary schools around Tucson, where we provide reading coaches, one-on-one reading coaches for kids in kindergarten through second grade. And, you know, we are hoping to serve over 1,000 kids this next coming school year. We've been ramped, you know, now the schools have opened again. We're back in the schools now. Our Story is at Soar program also serves thousands of children across dozens of schools around Tucson. And after our May 6th celebration, where tickets are selling out quickly, but if you can't get a ticket to our birthday celebration, we are going to be having a Best of Stories at Soar Film Festival on May 22nd, a free event at the Loft, a matinee, where you can highlight the videos that we made from children's stories that they submitted through elementary schools. And then at the adult level, we also work with hundreds of people learning English, both people who've lived in Tucson for a long time and people who have newly come to the United States, including refugees from all over the world. We have an English language acquisition program. And we also serve around 1,000 people in Tucson for adult basic literacy, which is literacy support, both in English and in Spanish, as well as GED training. Both in English and in Spanish, to help people get ready to pass the GED and get their GED so they can continue to meet their goals in life. So Bill, we do a lot of stuff for a lot of people, and we've been doing it for 10 years, and it's just been great.
We're speaking with Matt Tarver-Walquist, the executive director of Literacy Connects. Matt, we talked with you right after you had started the job. What have you learned about the Tucson community and how caring it is? Like, I believe that your organization benefited from the Tucson Festival of Books this year.
That's right, Bill. The Tucson Festival of Books are a great partner to us. We were closely involved with them. They hold many of their meetings on our campus here at Literacy Connects, and we also participate in the festival itself. And it was really wonderful to see the festival go live this year and to be the hustling, bustling thing that I had heard about. You know, Bill, I grew up in Tucson. But I moved away for college. I didn't come back for 26 years. And I got back here during the pandemic and started at Literacy Connects during the pandemic. So I had never been to the festival. But what I learned in moving back to Tucson as an adult was the incredible connected nonprofit community here and the incredible community support we have here for our nonprofits. You know, Literacy Connects holds collaboration as one of its key values. And I just find Tucson to be an incredibly collaborative and supportive community. You know, we rely on community support to do the work that we do in our community, not just on the donations from the community and from foundations and from businesses, but also on volunteers. You know, we are a volunteer-driven organization. We are able to reach the kids and the adults that we can reach because we train volunteers to be reading coaches and to be English teachers and to be teachers in different GED subjects and to be literacy tutors. We have a professional team that finds volunteers willing to make a commitment to us, and we train them. And it's the volunteers that really do the work. So given that we're a volunteer-driven organization and that we're able to reach so many people, it just really tells me that Tucson itself is a community that is really committed to service in their community. And it's really an honor to be a part of it.
Matt, you may be able to be reaching people, potential volunteers right now that are listening to my radio program. What would be the process, the protocol for setting up something to find out if a volunteer, maybe it might, to see if it's a good fit?
Yeah, it's very easy. You go to our website, literacyconnects.org, and you'll see a tab that says volunteer, and then there are steps you can follow to explore the volunteer opportunities that we have. And I can tell you that our volunteers are really the best mouthpieces for this. When I first came to Literacy Connects, I did a few town hall style meetings with groups of our volunteers to get feedback from them about what their experience has been like, and they have just such a positive experience. The experience of being able to connect to people and help them along their path, the experience of working with our professional staff that prepares them so well for this, it's really a great way to give back to your community. The people that volunteer for us love to do it. You know, we use over 1,000 volunteers, and we're always looking for more. You know, the schools have been shut during COVID. The kids in those schools have so much to gain now from getting additional support. And it's a simple equation. The more volunteers we get, the more people we can reach.
All right. Literacyconnects.org, celebratory dinner for the 10th anniversary and program Friday evening, May 6th, the courtyard at the Tucson Museum of Art. I think we covered all the bases there, Matt. Good to check in with you again. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Bill.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show midweek edition. Back with you in about 23 hours. Got Dave Ramsey coming up next. Thanks, Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing our program. Hope everybody has a great afternoon.